Today's learning is a Zecher Nishmas for Rabbi Yechmiel Menachem and Rabbi Chaim Yaakov Yisrael Tzatzal on the day of his Yahrzeit. May the learning be a schus for his neshama, sponsored by his mishpacha. It also provides me a paper to write a test on. Okay. You look at me like I'm a strange guy when I just said... Since fine bread. Okay. I am on Mem Gimel Amid Beis. We're going to start again. Top of the Amid. First word of the Amid. Mem Gimel Amid Beis. Okay, I hope I can do the job today and explain it well. Let's see. Amar Rav Chisda Amar Rav. You know what? I didn't say that. You give me 30 seconds to say the tefillah. Fine. Amar Rav Chisda Amar Rav. Nitzam Raisha Shalavim Einim B'Tam Aloy. Now the truth is, Rav Chisda Amar Rav could have said much simpler. He could have said, if there is a bone the size of a sa'ira missing, that's the halacha. Any bone the size of a barley missing from his dad, he can't be metame to him. He picks the case of Rishai. The Radvaz is bothered. Why did he pick an extreme case of Rishai? He could have just said, nikta etzem kasaira. Why did he, etzem kasaira is a lot smaller than Rishai. Rishai seems to imply a huge part of the body. In fact, pretty main part of the body, a head. But the halacha is, and it's clear from the Gemara as we go on, that if the father's, any bone the size of a barley is missing from the time of his father's death till the kura, he cannot be metame. So the question becomes, so why did Rav Chisda Amar Rav express themselves with Rishai? So the Radvaz asked this question. He offers four answers. Now, I don't remember all four, but I'll try to say over what I do remember. And that is that the Rush is trying, that the Gemara is trying to tell me that even though if the Etzem Kesaira was missing before the father died, it would not impede the halacha of Kvura. Let's say the father had his hand amputated, but he had a limb amputated while he was alive, the son could be metame to him because that's pre-death. It's only what happens posthumously. But if it happens while death is happening, that's called posthumously. So nikta roisha shalecha mehem, even though that's what caused the death. That's why we're stressing that, because that's a limb that definitely causes death. And therefore, without getting involved with the translation of death. Right, therefore, that's one of the answers he says. So Rav Chisda Amar Rav is trying to tell me that while dying, that's like posthumously and missing a limb. So if the person is losing that etzem kesaira while he's dying, that's considered like he's losing his etzem kesaira post-death, and the son cannot be metame. Again, that's what one of the terutzim and radvaz is, why Rav Chisda Amar Rav picked Rishai. Because it would have been a bigger chiddush to tell me that a little bone off his toe came off after he died, the kid can't be metame. For sure, head. So the terrorist is, the bone after that comes up after death usually is not what causes death. Here, this is the cause of death. So one could argue that that's like pre-death, sort of because it's stressing, no, it's not. During death, during the time of death, is like post-death. That's why Nikta Raisha, he picks that case to tell me that halacha.
Nikta, by definition, means the guillotine on.
It means like cut off. You,
you cut off after the death.
No, obviously.
That's not called Nikta.
No, it's called, I don't know if that's true or not. It's just normally, Nikta Raisha means he died that way. That's all. That's what Rav Chisda says. He says three other terutzim. I don't remember them. Sasemis, I usually don't speak out many acquainted, but this time I'm going to mention a few. The Sasemis doesn't understand, again, he doesn't understand, but this is Nalokha, why to make a difference? The drush is going to come. My time on Mikrola of it. Bisman she shalom beloy bisman shu chaser. So he's trying to figure out if the drush is of it, that he has to be complete. Why shouldn't a pre-death losing of a bone be the same as post-death? Who cares? It's not of it. It's not shalom. Shalom means it's complete. Practice asemus. What does complete mean? All things he needs to live, so that a bone kasari doesn't need to live. Oh, any bone? So why should it make a difference if it happened while he was alive or after. But that's the halacha. If Hashem has just asked him by Tzarchian, but that's the halacha. That Aviv Kisusala means as he was at the time of death. That's how the Gemara is translating it. So Hashem is bothered, why is that the translation? But that's what he says. Yes?
I don't like speaking when I have to hear my thoughts, but any object has both essential and contingent properties. An essential property is something which, if it does not exist, then that object is not a chair has the essential property of being sat upon. If it can't be sat upon, it's not a chair. Whereas the chair can be red or green or blue or something like that.
Again, what does it have to do with this?
So, is there any anything along the lines of whether something, head being on top would be an essential property as far as that?
That's why I spoke out. That Gemara is going to be clear that it makes no difference.
Okay, thank you.
That's what the Ravaz's question is based on. If it doesn't make a difference, why do you pick the most obvious part of missing body? Pick the bigger Kiddush, which is to say that even if a little bone off the toe, the size of a barley came off, you can't be metame. Would have been a much bigger Kiddush. That's what the Ravaz's question is. He gives four answers. I only remembered one. You can look it up in the Masechta Gemara. Brings down all four. Yes.
That's why I don't like speaking quickly.
Okay. Zok the Gemara, Zok the Rashi.
What's the reason for this?
Zeret Hakasav. We don't need reasons. We like Zeret Hakasav. Tyrus said, "Love him, love him, because he's solid."
Love it only means a limb or even a single bone.
I said it again. A bone the size of a barley.
Right. So if he's missing. So in other words, it has to be something that's apparent?
Obviously, it must be noticed, because if not, you would never know. Okay. Right. Because the Kain Hedjin is the one that can be metamic to his dad, right? Kain Gadol can't, the Nasser can't, it's the Kain Hedjin. And Yisrael was not governed by this. Yisrael can be metamic to anything and anybody. Don't think of my right. On my time, I'm a kralah. Aviv is mine to shalom, but life is mine to chaser. I'm a lawyer of Amnuna. From Amnuna tells of Chizda. Elamiata, ka'azu bapaksid arvas. The guy is walking in a valley where it's known that there's a lot of robbers. Meaning this is a very unsafe place. Huff. Right? He's walking in huff. Upaski gambilareshe. And unfortunately, these murderers, robbers, cut his head off. Okay, that means Latamilay, so his son can't be Matamid to him? Is that what you're saying? Now, what he's trying to stress is, his Havamina is, that this halacha of Ksushalem is not only a halacha in a relative, but is a halacha in Beis Mitzvah as well. Paksid the Arvis is not a very well-traveled place. Anybody that ventures there is obviously taking a gamble with safety. And therefore, if dad and son went there, and dad ended up killed, right? So it's basically, the way that the Achrayim explained this, it's a Meis Mitzvah situation, there's nobody around. But the Gemara's Havamina is, that if we put this restriction on a son and his father by a Kayan, that same restriction would apply by a Meis Mitzvah. Amalei, Meis Mitzvah, Kamrit? You're talking about a Meis Mitzvah? Meis Mitzvah doesn't have the restriction of Ksushalim. Any Meis Mitzvah a client can be Matami to. And therefore, there it doesn't make a difference. There's no halach of Shalim. Now, if his father happens to be the Meis Mitzvah, his father happens to be the Meis Mitzvah. There's two dinim now. Son has a chiyuv to bury his father, and a person has a chiyuv to bury a Meis Mitzvah. They came together because dad got killed in Paksah the Arvus. And there's nobody around. And therefore, the son has to bury him. So Al-Tilchus son to father, he can't. The head's off. But Al-Tilchus Meis Mitzvah, there's no restriction. Whereas Rav Nuna felt that restriction is a general restriction on a Kayan. Never give me Metame to anything that's not complete since death. And what Chizda is answering him, that's not a halacha in Meis Mitzvah. Meis Mitzvah doesn't have those restrictions. It's only halacha in relative. Relative is other Manshin Shalim. Meis Mitzvah doesn't have that restriction. Zogdarash. The Paksha Darvas. Bikush Mitsuyim Balistim. It's a valley that listim are found in. Meaning it's a place to walk that, you know, not a good idea. Let's put it this way. Not a good idea. Zogdarash.
Is there a machlokas by Meis
Mitzvah? The Havamin, it doesn't say he argues. He accepted the answer. He thought that this restriction is by Meis Mitzvah because they told him, no, it's not.
That's not going to change the halacha of Mitzvah and Rosh Hashanah, right?
Again, it is a very unique circumstance that his father is a Meis Mitzvah.
But that's not going to change the halacha of Rosh
Hashanah. No, it's not.
Everyone can still agree with that.
100%. All Rav Nuna was questioning is what if it's a Meis Mitzvah? Would the father be not allowed to be buried by his son? And he told him, yes, he would, because the restriction is not by Meis Mitzvah. Zogt Gemar by Meis Mitzvah. Is this considered a Meis Mitzvah? Latanya, Eza Meis Mitzvah, Kosh Ein Lekhevrim. Anybody has nobody to bury him. Now, there's two Pshatim in the next line in Gemara. So we're going to learn it like the first shot of the Rush. And then we'll read the second shot of the Rush in the Rush. Kairei v'acherim einem eisai. What if the mace would be able to call out? There would be relatives that would respond to him. Meaning, if the mace could talk, and he would say, Rabbi Sai, I need to be buried, his relatives would respond, because they're the ones that are mechuyev to bury him. Ein zeh mace mitzvah. That's not a mace mitzvah. V'ho ishrei bra. And this guy has a son. So he's not in a situation of Meis Mitzvah. There's a relative here. If dad would have called out and said, I need to be buried, the son is there. So the halacha is Meis Mitzvah is only if there's no relative. If there's a relative, he's not a Meis Mitzvah. So here there's a relative. And for the Gemara, Kivin the Kaza Ba'orcha, Kimishayin Le'Kaivrim Dami. Yes. In this case, he's a Meis Mitzvah even though there's a relative. Because Al-Silka's relative, the son can't be Matamah to him. And there's no one else there. Now, in Hilchus Meis Mitzvah, and the Rush is going to speak this out, if there's a Kayan here in Yisrael, the Kayan can't be Matamah to the Meis Mitzvah. Meis Mitzvah, the Kayan is the last resort. If there's a Yisrael here, let the Yisrael do it. Here is a Kayan walking with his dad. Had there been other people around, our son, he can't be Matame because his father is missing a piece. Our Meis Mitzvah, he can't be Matame because there's somebody else here. Let the other guy take care of it. He's a Yisrael. He has no restrictions. A Kayan is restricted. But since over here he's in Paks of the Arvas, and there are no other people, the son becomes two halachas now. He's a son, and he's also another person who's not a son because he has to do Meis Mitzvah. So therefore, even though whenever there's a relative, we don't consider somebody a Meis Mitzvah, but over here, given the circumstance that relative doesn't help, he becomes a Meis Mitzvah. That's what the Gemara says. Dr. Rush. Kol she'ein le'kayvrim, kayrei v'acherim ayin ayisai. And kol she'ein le'kayvrim, period. Kayrei v'acherim ayin ayisai, period. She'im ha'meis ha'yoko le'kreis. If the Meis could talk, ha'yo le'kayvrim ayin ayisai, she's not a Meis Mitzvah. So the Rush is stressing the fact that relatives is what prevents Meis Mitzvah. No relatives creates Meis Mitzvah. That's why you will hear the term used by the Chevra Kedisha. We did a Meis Mitzvah today. Somebody died in the west side of Cleveland in a nursing home that there's no known relatives, right? And the Chevra Kedisha goes and does the Kvura. They did a Meis Mitzvah. There were no relatives. Relatives are mechuyev in kvura. When there's no relatives, that means you need volunteers. That is Meis Mitzvah.
No relatives willing to do it.
Again, no relatives that are taking care of it, right? So then there's the Meis Mitzvah. Now, when a regular person dies, a frum person, Rachman al-San, dies, the relatives are there. Now, Enochinami, they might not do the actual burial, but they're mechuyev in the burial. They have to pay for the burial. They have to be involved in the burial. So therefore, even though the Chevra Kedisha does it, it's not a Meis Mitzvah. There are others here that are obligated, that are quote-unquote willing to do it.
What if they're not willing to pay?
The
same thing.
Then it becomes Meis Mitzvah. Yeah. What we're talking about, I said from people, usually that's not an issue. But again, in the case when there's somebody dying in the middle of Cleveland, where it's a big city with a lot of people, he still makes mitzvah. There's no relatives. The determining factor is relatives. In fact, the Gemara Yavamis uses a language that says relatives that inherit. A relative that doesn't inherit doesn't feel any compunction or need to be metame to the relative. It's only relatives that are close enough that inherit. The Gemara is talking about over there, a kayan marries a girl that's a ktana. It's a rabbinic marriage. If she dies, the kayan can be metame to her. And the question is why? Why can the kayan be metame to her? He's not married biblically. It's not his wife. Tomas deraisa. The Gemara Yavama says, because since this rabbinic marriage gave him the right to inherit her, and her father doesn't inherit her anymore, and her brothers doesn't inherit her, so the brothers say she's not related to us anymore, meaning we have no reason to bury her. We're not getting her money. We're not her closest relative. Her husband's inheriting her. Let him take care of it. So it's a meis mitzvah. That's what the Gemara says. So then the kohen can be metame as a meis mitzvah because he's the one that, quote-unquote, inherits her. They lost that inheritance. Therefore, they're no longer considered relatives because they won't do the job. Whether they're obligated or not is a different story, but they just won't do it. So I'm just pointing this out to show you that when there's no relatives, it's a meis mitzvah. We always view meis mitzvah in our minds as somebody that died in the Sahara Desert. That's not necessary. It doesn't have to be the Sahara Desert. It could be in Cleveland, Ohio, is what I'm trying to say. Or New York, New York, yes.
I thought they weren't any sort of blood relationship, even going out to four times removed, has a potential of inheritance.
Again, the Torah makes seven relatives that are Chayiv and Kavura. And the Gemara is saying there that since we took away the Yerusha, those seven relatives won't do their job, and therefore it's a meis mitzvah. So that's the Gemara Yavamis. I really don't want to spend time on that.
It's got a conflicting pesach, which says that there's no one who does not have a relative, with the exception of the
Gemara. Again, I'm going to say it again. The relatives don't act relative. They don't do their job. I didn't say they're not related. I said they don't do their job.
Yeah, but it seems...
Because their husband's taking the money. Relatives don't inherit when there's a husband. They're out of the picture.
And if the husband is predeceased.
So then it's a different story. That would be Chayim and Akwa. We're talking about, again,
okay,
a Chayim married a Tana.
I'm not entirely comfortable with the definition, but I
think
you're the
real. The Gemara says it, not me. But yes, Mefarshim. Yes.
Is the wife Chayim to be. She wants people to have
their husband. Machloikas Rishaynim. Tupshatim and Rashi and Gim. Does a wife have to bury her husband? Now, a wife is not restricted as a kayan. The question is there a mitzvah for a wife to bury her spouse, her relative? I think there's two Shatim and Rashi, when it says over there that she can be metame to him. The Gemara there says he can be metame to her and she can be metame to him. And the Rishayim are bothered, of course she can be metame to him. She has no restrictions of tumah. So what does it mean she can be metame to him? It means we allow her to be metame to him, and she can always be metame to him. So one shot in Rashi is enochinami. It just means, like, just we throw it in because it's just contrast. The other shot in Rashi is she's obligated to be metame to him as a husband.
No, she's not a yoresha.
Yeah. Again, I think we're misunderstanding here. I think we're not understanding the point that the Gemara is making there. It doesn't say anywhere that the seven relatives have to inherit. The seven relatives are obligated. The Gemara is telling you a physical fact, a reality fact. When the husband marries her and takes over her money, the relatives are not so happy that their 10-year-old sister is being inherited by some stranger who married her. And therefore, they won't do the job. This is a fact. It's not telling them they're not mechuyev. It's telling them a fact.
It's not based on Yerusha.
Exactly. There, you fact the lack of your ruin. I shouldn't have mentioned the Gemara because I got myself into something that I didn't need for this Gemara. But yes, Mefarshim, others learn differently in this Gemara. Kairi HaKayin V'Acherim Ayin Naisai Lavei L'Kavrei. They want to say that if the Kayin can scream out, there's a mace here, and others will respond, he can't bury the mace mitzvah. Not Kairei v'acherim ayinai said the mace could call out, his relatives would come. Ain't that mace mitzvah? But if the kayin can yell out, and others would respond, it's not a mace mitzvah. Dr. Rush, the Khumra Gadailahi, the Makayan, Yahu Lamza Belim Tsalai Kaivim Layit Hamalai. That means it's saying that when a Kayan's walking and finds a Mace Mitzvah, if he can use his phone now, or forget in those days there were no phones, if he can go and spend 20 minutes, 30 minutes looking for somebody to take care of the Mace Mitzvah, he has no right to be Matamai. That's a Khumra Gadailah. The Mace is here. He's obligated to bury him. He's going to go look now for others? Nobody else is obligated. He's obligated. So the Rush says that's a Khumra Gedailah. Doesn't agree with it. I mean, he doesn't say it's wrong. He just says it's a very big Khumra. It's saying that the Kayan is required to check the surrounding area if he can find somebody. And therefore the Gemara's question is, why is this a Mace Mitzvah? There's somebody here. The son. The son can't be Matame. That's the answer. Since the son can't be Matame and there's no one else, it's a Mace Mitzvah. Dr. Rush, the list of the Gemara in the Perek Yisra Rabbah, the Gemara in Yavama's 10th Perek, Kaperish Kama, Mashma Kaperish Kama, the Bekur V'tal Yamosa, the Mace Mitzvah has to do with relatives, or lack of them. The Garsim Hasim, Kivin the Yu Kayaris, like Kayaris, say, Kayiv Le'ani Karebe. The Gemara says over there, since the brother is not Yarshining her, or the father is not Yarshining her by the wife that's Tana, so it's like calling out and nobody answers. What do you mean? There's still people around. Terence is, if the relatives don't feel the need to bury her, there's no relatives for practical purposes, therefore it's a Mace Mitzvah. There's still other Jews around, so why is the husband allowed to be Matame? Let him go to shul and announce, my wife died, she's a Mace Mitzvah. Terence is, Kain's not mechuyev to go look for others. Not mechuyev to look for others. If there's a Mace Mitzvah, he takes care of it. There's other people around, he can go find, not mechuyev to go find. Now we will see in a moment that if he's walking with the Yisrael, he doesn't have to go find him, then he can't be metamed to the Mace Mitzvah. But if he has to go look for them, that's why the Rush called it Khumra Gedailah. I guess you're asking me, you'll have to write an article on that. I have no idea. The Gemara doesn't talk about it. Yes, they did. The Gemara in many places says that they had Khumra Gedailah. The Rush is proving the first shot. Because the Gemara in Yevamos says nobody, they don't feel like relatives when they don't inherit her. Who cares? There's still other yidden around. Who needs relatives? Teretz is, once there's no relative, to Mace Mitzvah, if the Kayan's there, he has to do it. Even though he can go look for others. So I'm thinking about the Rush writes, he can't be Mitame as a son, Kiva the Chaser. So Mace Mitzvah me Mitame. Mikan Mashma. Zok the Rush. From here we see. Then yes, some Yisrael she tapaba. If there's a Yisrael around here, not that you have to go looking for him. Loi Mikri Mace Mitzvah, but loi Yitame by Akayim. The Mashma, the Gemara's Mashma, Dafka Bapaksa the Arbus, loi Shichi Inchi Klau. Nobody's around. Hoi Shichi Inchi, if people are around. So in the case in Yavamas, if he's in the woman dies in the middle of a city, and all the husband has to do is go outside, and there's 20 people around, it would not be able to be Matamba to her, some Mace Mitzvah. There are people around. It's only when he has to go looking for people. They're not around. The Eidraya, Mahadam, meaning the Kamam Perik Kain Gadol. Perik Kain Gadol. The Kain Gadol of the Nazir, I have the extra word Kain Gadol twice. If a Kain Gadol and a Nazir are walking and they find a Mace Mitzvah, Yatame Nazir by Yatame Kain Gadol. The Nazir is the one that has to do the Mace Mitzvah, not the Kain Gadol. And the Gemara will say why later on. What do you mean? Why can't they both do it? The answer is, if there's somebody around that is a lesser Chiyav, he's the one that has to do it. If the Kain Gadol is more holy than the Nazir has to do it. Somebody's going to have to do it. So of the two, Nazir is the less holy one. Right. The Kayan and Yisrael are walking. Yisrael does it, not the Kayan. So the Rush says, I said it's a Khumra Gedailah for the Kayan to have to go search for people. But if they're here, that's not a search. And therefore he's not allowed to be Matamah to Mace Mitzvah. I would think so.
It seems to be from the inheritance.
Right? Yeah, I'm not possibly going to welcome him. Makes sense. Says, lo yitama. Again, after everything's said and done, I'm going to vibe shred with this, but we'll try. It says that he should be matamah to his sister. The words lo yitam are extra. It's talking about emerlar akad ben aaron lenevers lo yitam abamav ki. Im he can be matamah to the following seven relatives: the sheirak halav elav, laaviv imai, laachiv. Ulachoyse absul akroy ve'elav. Period. Why did it have to say lo yitam? It said ki im l'sheirai. These are the relatives he can be matamah to. I forgot the name. Right. These are the relatives you give matamah to. Why does the Torah have to repeat lo yitam at the end? Extra words. To tell me, lohu matameh. It has to be her complete body. Ve'ena matameh le'vereha. It can't be matameh to her limbs. V'she'ena matameh le'evre menachai l'asher aviv. Because a kayin cannot be matameh to a limb of his father while his father is alive. Evre menachai is matameh like evre menameh. Same tumah. An amputee, his limb is matameh, but all the chumras of Avim and Ames. He's a living, but his thing is matameh. I'm sorry? Give me a ten. Right. So therefore, since he can't be matameh to an Aver, he can't be matameh to a girl, a sister, who's missing an Aver. That's what we're saying. Now, before I get to the next part, which is the reason of the kasha, the question is, why are we bringing Lo Yitama? We learned it from La'aviv. What is Lo Yitama doing that La'aviv didn't do? And I don't have a good answer for it. Honestly, at the end of the day, I don't have a good answer for it. The Rush says, Lo Yitama, Gabi Achois Kayin Hedjiksev, Lo Yitama, Mas Makshibish Lemusa. But Lo Yitama, and I made Shalaviv, Kleimer, I feel Aviv Akarv Lo Yitzer. The closest relative, Eina Matame Levarav. The Tzarekiyah Minole De Eina Matame Levari Aviv. How do we know to take it from sister to father? The Shema Mil Aviv Nafka. So this is what bothers me. So the Rosh says it comes from Aviv. So if it came from Aviv, so why are we bringing Lo Yitama? I don't know the answer. Now here comes the part of the Brisa that's a Kasha. Avul Machzeru al Etzim Kesira. But if he was Matame to his dad, and there's a piece missing, he can go be Matame to that piece. If he was Matame to his deceased dad, and now there's a piece that was missing in dad, and he was Matame to his dad, he can go be Matame to the piece. That's what the Braita says. He can't be Matame to a piece of dad, but he can be matamit to dad, and once he's matamit to dad, he can go back and get the piece. Dr. Raj, al magzu al etzim kaseira, claimer, ava bishen yagal atami loy laever, but like it adasha, like the size, a complete limb, or the bone of the size of a lentil, nikoma givim nit mekvar lo'aviv, magzu al etzim kaseira shalaviv l'kaivra. Once he was matamit to his dad, he can go get the bone that's missing. Now the question is, how was he matamah to his dad? If his dad was missing that bone, he had no right to be matamah to the dad. It makes it sound that this kind is perfectly legal. He was matamah to his dad, and then went to be matamah to the extra bone that's missing. He had no right to be matamah to the dad. So the kohen you see from here, that one can be matamah to a dad if he's missing a piece. Not like Rav Chisda. What? No, it's not a Meis Mitzvah. It's a correct son and a father. This is not Pax of the Arvus. It's a regular case. Dad died, he was matamah to dad, and then he can go get the other part of dad. But that's not what it says. It's mashma here, that he was matamah to dad, like the Rush said. Right? Yimnit mekvar la'aviv. Again, the Gemara is assuming and never changes its assumption that this father started missing it post-death.
No.
I'm getting the Gemara. I heard you three times. The Gemara never assumes that. The Gemara is assuming that the father missed it post-death. And that's why the Gemara has a kasha, because if it were pre-death, it wouldn't be a kasha.
Okay.
I never said it would pre or post, by the way. I just said it was missing a limb.
He can't be metame to that limb.
But if he was metame to the father, he can go back and get the limb.
He can't be metame to the limb when? Post that.
Yes. Well, he can't be metame to the limb even if the limb came off pre death.
That's the chiddush. It came off during life.
Again, then there wouldn't be a kasha here. If you're right, then the Gemara is wasting its time.
Right.
Zok Gemara.
Over here,
he's was not a Mace Mitzvah. This is his son. We left Mace Mitzvah alone.
Okay.
We said goodbye to Mace Mitzvah. No worries. Now we're back to a son and a dad.
Essentially, he's Metapo to his father, who's missing a limb. He's Metapo to the limb, too.
That's what it's saying. And that's Shver under Chista, because he said he can't be Metapo to his father. Exactly the question. Now, Baruch Maisha offered an answer, but the Gemara doesn't even think of that. That he was missing the limb before he died. But the Gemara doesn't say that. So I can't, the Gemara obviously doesn't assume that. My Machzer, back to the Rush, Lav the Gachasha Porta B'Shash and Nitma Lo'aviv, next to me Menu Etzim Kesaira. At that point, he was missing an Etzim Kesaira, V'Lach and Nitma Lo'aviv. And for the Gemara, you're right. This Braisa is not like Rav Chisda. This Braisa is clearly not like Rav Chisda. Loi. Ahi Rav Yehudi. Nope. The Braisa is going like Rav Yehuda. He holds that a person can be metame to a mace that's missing a limb. You're right. Rav Yehuda disputes Rav Chisda Marav. Rav Chisda Marav said you can't. Rav Yehuda holds you can. The Tanya. If you would have a law metam yitame, the ain't a metam levereha, she ain't a metam even in a chai shalaviv, I will metam you levim and I made shalaviv. If he was metam to the body, that's how we explain Rabbi Huda, even though you could read Rabbi Huda differently. If he was already metam to the body, he's allowed to go back and get the Avim and Ames. He can never be metam to an Avim and a chai. And the truth is, he can't be metam to an Avim and Ames by itself either. But if he was metame to the body, he can go back for the aver. Not like Rav Chisda Marav that said he was not allowed to be metame to the body. Zok Darash. Hai tada sabalok Rav Yehuda, barabonim pligi alei, barabonim rabonim sphere alei. Hai lamatam alei v'minamesh. Now listen to this Raj. Pirish haidei chazara. Even Rav Yehuda only allows it to go back and get it. In klar nitma l'shar haguf. You can't be metamed to a neighbor. What's the proof? How do I know that? Because why can't he be metamed to an Eivim and Achai? Why don't we let him be metamed to Eivim and Achai? What's the difference Eivim and Achai, Eivim and Ames? Eivim and Achai is a Chi of Kvura. Not so much. But Eivim and Achai, let's say, is a Chi of Kvura. So why can't he be metamed to one and not to the other? If you hold that there's a heter of Avim and Ames, even without being doing the body, so then it should be a heter of Avim and Achai too. Terence says, Avim by itself has no heter. It's only if he was metame to the whole body, besides that Aver, he can go back and get that Aver.
Is he allowed to
in the game? That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. He's allowed to. But if not, how can we say this? This is the proof that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Chisda Marav. He's saying that one can be metame to a relative. No, because we would never allow extra tumma if it was wrong to begin with. Dr. Rajdan Boykane, my snar lebim and achai lebim metame, lebim stame lechai lebim and achai lebim and ames. Elder, lebim and ames, metame adei chazara.
When did it get cut off?
It's all post-death. No, lebim and ames is post-death.
An Avram and Achai turned into an Avram and
Ames
when he died?
No. It doesn't because it was an Avram and Achai. It's like, halakhically, if the guy has an Avram and Achai of an animal, can't eat it. If he checks the animal, it doesn't help you with Avram.
Right. So when he returns, when that other minig or halakha to restore the body to Shlemus, he's on top of with his father, that was an amputee during his life, he can't bring that leg back.
No, he cannot.
He has to have somebody else do it.
Yes. Correct. He cannot do it.
And he can't go to
What do you mean? Mavai of who?
The person that was an amputee that had his leg restored.
Again.
Into the kever. During that kura.
He can go because the body is being buried, and the Reb Yehuda holds you can go for the body even though it's missing a limb.
Ultimately going to Reb Yehuda.
Again, the Pizdam Arab said, there was a story here, and I hate to, I didn't want to bring it up. There was a story here a number of years ago. No, I didn't say that. No. There was a story a number of years ago, somebody was killed, and it was a question whether it was missing a Etzem Kaseira posthumously. What? And he was a Kayan. Correct. And in Cleveland, the Chevra Kedisha paskened based on the observation of somebody who was there at the time of death, it was an accident death, that he was not missing an Etzem Kaseira. He was taken to a different city for burial, and the one in charge of the other city did not let the kids go to the Kfura. It's a true story. He held that it's impossible that in the accident there was no Chaser Etzem Kaseira.
How much is Etzem Kaseira anyhow?
Very little.
I know, yeah. How are you supposed to tell?
It has to be just separated. Even if it's there, isn't it?
Correct.
It cracks off and the body.
The Chevra Kedisha in Cleveland relied on somebody's eyewitness who claimed that to him it looked whole.
Do x-rays.
Again, they didn't do x-ray. I'm telling you a story that happened, and you're giving me a drush. You know what I mean? It's a catch on the mic.
How did he know?
He looked at the body. He saw the body as it was.
It's a small little soul.
Again, I'll say it again. All these kashas, we call them kashas and a maisa. I'm telling you a story that happened, and you're telling me that it shouldn't have happened. I'm telling you this is the story that happened. By the way, the person in charge in the other city held like you. He held that it's impossible that there was no Etzem Kaseira missing, and he didn't let the kids go to the court. So it was a big tumult because, I mean, tumult, it was a tumult between, I mean, this person was saying that the Chevra Kedisha in Cleveland didn't know what they were doing. That's what he basically was saying. Because over here, they allowed the kids to go to Luraya. But then the body was transferred to a different city, and over there, they did not let the kids go to the Kfura. Based on this halach. We passed like Rav. That one cannot be made. Rabbi Yehuda would have allowed it. I don't know what you mean by that. What does separated mean? That's cut off.
No, but it's still attached.
No. If it's still attached, that's not called nikta. Beferish halacha. It's not beferish halacha. Only nikta. It's got to be off. But then again, in an accident, I'm not going to get into details. I'll leave it alone because I don't want to say who it was.
The head of the Chevra Kedisha,
it was passed by the head of the Chevra Kedisha. It was not taken, as far as I know, to any rabbi to ask the question. The Chevra Kedisha got together and they had the shayla. They know the halacha, the heads of the Chevra Kedisha. And one of the members happened to have been there at the time when it happened. And he said, it looked whole to me. And they said, okay, so then we don't have to tell the kids not to come. Right. We don't bother with Tyrus in that cinema. Correct. But this is a story, you know. Any question you have, we call that a kasha namaisa. Can't argue in a kasha namaisa, you know what I mean? What happens? The seifa, and the Hebrew El Tanya Bataris Kahana. In the seifa of the end of the previous price, you know, I made him a time of Etzem Kaseira Ba'aviv, of a Magzu Al Etzem Kaseira. Look, the Rush, I got a problem. The Tema. Heich mukalok Rabbi Yehuda. I'm going to tell you, save Rabbi Yehuda. I remember called the Reish Alam Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda argues on this Brisa. And he says, I will mazai Etzem Kaseira. That means the previous Brisa, right? The Brisa before, that said, Ve'ein imetami levereha, the brisa before, it's not going like a Yehuda. I don't know which brisa he means, by the way, because the only brisa I see here says you could be Maksal Etzem Kaseira. I don't know which brisa sounded like you can't. I don't know which he's referring to. There's like the Braisa before, it's also Rabbi Yehuda. I don't know which Braisa he's referring to. I don't know. And his answer is the cooler Rabbi Yehuda, the whole Braisa is Rabbi Yehuda. I'm not sure which Braisa he means. But he says there's a Reisha and a Seifa. I'm not sure which Braisa he means. The Braisa I see here is Meis Mitzvah, which is not Negeya now. And the other Braisa I see is that says I'm a Machzor El Etzem Kaseira. So that's Rabbi Yehuda. So I don't know where the other Braisa he is that he's referring to. I don't know. I don't know Pshat in this Rashi. I don't know. Fact the Gemara from another Braisa. Now the Gemara is going to do this from three Braisas, and each answer is going to be the same. Those Braisas are like a Yehuda. So again, to set it up so we know what we're talking about. Rav said missing a piece can't be metamic to the body if the piece was missing posthumously. The Braisa said one can, but can be metamic to the body, not only that, but go get the other limb. So the Gemara answers, that's a Yehuda, who holds one can be metamic to a body even though it's missing. And then says a bigger Kiddush, that once the person's metamic to the body, he can go get the other limb. But by the limb by itself, he can't do. That's Rabbi Yehuda. And we're going to have another Braisa, and we're going to say that's Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to have a third Braisa, and we're going to say that's Rabbi Yehuda. Then the Gemara is going to say, hello, Rav, if three Braisa say like Rabbi Yehuda, why are you passing differently? So we'll see. But that's the Gemara's question is going to be. Frek the Gemara, Batani Rabbi Kahana, Rabbi Rabbi Yaakov. It says, Lo Yitama, Ve'ena Matama Levereha, this is by the sister. Prat L'Gzayas Menameis, it can be Matami to Gzayas Menameis. Ugzayas Nessel, Nessel is, he translates it Nessel, the Rush translates it as Gzayas Nessel, Lecha Hayaitza Menameis, the liquid that exits the mace. Umale Tar V'Drekev, a shovelful, a big spoonful of
corpse dust.
Corpse dust, thank you. Avo Yochuli, that's, he can't be metamic to. Lochuli Yitamit L'Shedra L'Gagailis L'Rayv Minyana L'Rayv Minyana. I would think that if he has the backbone of the skull, or he has most of the build of the body, which the Rush tells us is 2 feet and one, I'm sorry, 2 feet and one thigh, or 2 thighs and 1 foot, it's called Rayv Minyana. Or Rayv Minyana. He has 125 limbs, which is most of a person's bones. I would think he can't be metame. The answer is, the Bach adds, Kshukasiv v'amartaleyem, emorah v'kanim ne'ayim v'amartaleyem, l'hoysa v'akasiv tumacheret. The Torah allows a person to be metame to the main bones of a person. Now this is not like Rav. Rav doesn't let you be metame even if one bone is missing. And here we're allowing if the majority is here. Dr. Rush, the Rav Minyanai, Hainu Kuf Chav Hei Evarim. I don't know what you have over there. I think you might have Kuf Mem Evarim, but the sheet affixes it to Kuf Chav Hei Evarim. Rav Minyanai Evarim, Shem Ramach Evarim. That's a majority of the 248. Well, the Rav Minyanai, the Fire Shekavan, Beis Shekayim, 2 feet, V'Yerech Echad, and 1 thigh. And Beis Yerachim, V'Shaik Echad. So I'm Emma Kana Bnei Aaron. I saw a guy said to my Charis, "Yuchel the Tamila." When we start with the Koya Achaisai, the Deshina Shaidim Matamila Vareil. It's going on the one that we said you can't be Matamila to your lip. Last week in Achkra, Ava Bishaidim Matamila Vareil. Matamila the Shadra the Gailus. Them Kay Lister Krumine. The Mamela Mismat to Kolei Vorem. Why did the Tire write to Amar Taleim to tell me that as long as most of the maze is here, he give me Matame, which is not like Rav. Yahu Zak the Braisa. Lo you tame share the gigailis of the Rabinyana Shakirim. Maybe he shouldn't be able to. Amit Vamarta. The meaning of others, not the sister. The father? Amrit. Ma Khaisim Yuched is a gupa talibai. She depends on him. It's a relative. Umatamila Shadra Gigailis and Rabinyana Rabinyana. I've called Shagupa Talibai, Matamil Shadra, the Gagailis, the Rabinyana, the Rabinyana. So all the relatives are the same. Clearly not like Rav. And for the Gemara, Hinami Rabbi Yehuda, that's also Rabbi Yehuda. So we have two questions of Rav, both of them are Rabbi Yehuda. In fact, the Gemara of Rav, the Amaki Hai Tana, he's basing it on the following Tana, the Tanya. Maitis Shema Abbas Abib Shurab Yitzchak begins it. Rabbi Yitzchak's father died in Ginzik. the side changes it to Tzadik HaKayin. That father died in Yitzhak. And they came and informed him after 3 years that his father had passed away. He wanted to move the body to Kivri Azaisav. One of the heterim to move a body, not so simple to move a body once they're buried. But if the Kivri Azaisav, it's mutter. To the family plot, it's a covered hames to be together with the family. Above is Shaul Shem Yeshua ben Elisha v'dalet zkenim she'imai v'amru l'avi b'zman shu shalom b'lai b'zman shu chaser. Over 3 years, it's impossible that part of the body is not missing, and therefore, you can't move it. As a kayin, you cannot move it. This is where Rav got that it has to be complete. That doesn't mean he can't have it moved. He can't move it. Dr. Rush, ma'achaisim yecheret shagupa tali by pirish shumateles alof lekaibra. If any avishan crave him shumatalim alof lekaibra, he has to bury. Kula Rabbi Yehudi ha gimu brises. And again, I don't know what the three brises are. I only saw two. Kulan Rabbi Yehuda. I'm missing a main piece here. Unless the first brisa of Lo Yitama. But that's the brisa we said of Rabbi Yehuda. I don't know. I only thought to maybe Rabbi Yehuda's brisa. I'm not sure. Bob is also Bishmol ben Elisha. Here it says Rabbi Shua ben Elisha. The Rashi gives Rabbi Shua ben Elisha. The Asher Alav Shum the Efshes Lechasim Imenu Klum. There's a shaila that's asked. Again, I don't know where the shaila is asked. What is more chashuv for a person, for a mace? To be buried in a family plot or to be buried in Eretz Yisrael? We see from this halacha, both halachas are true. One can move a mace to a family plot if they made a tzai when they buried him. And one can move a mace to Eretz Yisrael if they made a tzai when they buried him. Let's say now a guy dies and there's a choice. There's where all his family is. And then they can take him back to Israel. Which is more chashuv? To be with the family? To cover a mace to be with the family? Or to be in Eretz Yisrael? If I remember correctly, the psak was, they're both equal. They're both equal. Unless the mace said he wants to be somewhere, they're both equal, yes?
If I remember correctly.
Rabbi Barkin is right next to Rabbi Lemeyer here in Cleveland.
In Cleveland.
That doesn't, again. My shoemaker's in New Jersey.
He's near Shmilu.
I have no idea. I'm never there.
You're just there. What?
Why are you there? You're a Kayan.
I brought my wife there.
Okay.
The mace has to be made.
Yeah, a mace can require. A tanai has to be made. When they bury somebody and they plan to move him, the Chevra Kedisha who buries him has to make the tanai.
Well, Chevra Kedisha, I'll tell you, the Yisod has extremely strong words against people who have to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. His language is memorable.
Again, Dr. Schwab, I understand. I can bring you those same svarim. Trust me, I know them. Okay. But I can bring you other svarim that talk about yes, doing it. So therefore, one has to be very careful when they quote one side of the story without quoting the other side of the story.
I was quoting one person. I wasn't quoting a whole side.
I understand. It's like in medicine, one doctor has a shita and 10 doctors argue on him, and you quote that one. It's the same thing here. I'm not basketing.
Well, this one happened to agree with me, which is why are you spending money on that one?